In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Monday, January 16th, 2017 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. The inauguration of the next president of the United States is this Friday, where Donald Trump will solemnly affirm to the best of his ability to, quote, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States, unquote. Donald and Melania Trump might not be able to dance the night away at the various inauguration balls in light of planned protests and blocked streets in Washington. The kickoff event for the protests will take place on January 18th. With a homosexual dance party outside of Vice President-elect Mike Pence's Chevy Chase, Maryland home. Democratic Representative John Lewis of Georgia is no fan of Donald Trump. Listen to his remarks on NBC's Meet the Press.
I don't see the president-elect as a legitimate president. I think the Russians participated in helping this man get elected, and they helped destroy the candidacy of Hillary Clinton. I don't plan to attend inauguration. It would be the first one that I miss since I've been in the Congress.
The Wall Street Journal reports that at least 20 Democrats will not attend. International Christian Concern recently released their 2017 Hall of Shame report, which highlighted 12 countries throughout the world that persecute Christians. The World View spoke to Isaac Six, who explained how they picked the countries on the list.
We have a network of churches and contacts all throughout different regions of the world that are very close to the persecuted church and persecuted individuals. And so from that network, we're constantly pulling in lots of information. We also aggregate news from around the web on our website, persecution.org. And from that, we track incidents in dozens of countries around the world.
Six said that the Hall of Shame report is divided into different categories.
It's actually just an assembly of countries that we think, for different reasons, really need to be highlighted. We have three different categories within the Hall of Shame report. One of those categories is worst of the worst, where we talk about the very worst countries. One of those is core countries that just year after year are egregious religious freedom violators.
Six told the Worldview that the most encouraging thing for persecuted Christians is to know that these stories are being told and that other Christians are praying for them. To read more stories, go to the website persecution.org. Refugees are freezing to death in Europe, reports Christian Aid. For instance, two Iraqi men died last Friday in Bulgaria after walking through the snow for 48 hours without access to food or water. And in Greece, an Afghan refugee has also died. Leviticus 19:34 says, "The foreigners residing among you must be treated as your native-born. Love them as yourself, for you were foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God." When the American Humanist Association is happy, ain't nobody happy, except for the humanists. The atheist group objected to a voluntary, student-initiated Bible study, which handed out free donuts in a Joplin, Missouri school, reports the Joplin Globe. While a handful of clergy and teachers were present, they did not lead the Bible study, which was summarily shut down when the humanist group objected to the children wasting their time meditating upon God's Word. Psalm 14:1 says, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God." According to a Pew Research Center report released last week entitled "How America Changed During Barack Obama's Presidency," the biggest trend is the rise of those who claim no religion at all. When Obama took office in 2008, approximately 16% of Americans identified as either atheist, agnostic, or nothing in particular. As Obama leaves office, that number has increased to 25% of the population. Millennials, in particular, are embracing agnosticism and increasingly rejecting biblical Christianity. A major news talk radio station in Washington, D.C., WTOP, has pulled a pro-life group's advertisement urging Congress to strip America's largest abortion provider of $500 million of taxpayer funding annually, reports the Christian Post. Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List, which launched a $500,000 media blitz, said, quote, "This regrettable response to our radio spot on one of the lead topics in the current national debate is shameful for a First Amendment institution like WTOP," unquote. On Friday afternoon, the House of Representatives passed a bill to defund Planned Parenthood. According to congressional records, not a single Democrat voted for it, and 9 Republicans voted against it. A bizarre development in the United Kingdom, as the government is forcing Christians to register Sunday school students, reports Religion Today. Worse yet, officials are planning to inspect Sunday school classes. When introducing the plan, former Prime Minister David Cameron threatened, quote, "If you are teaching intolerance, we will shut you down," unquote. 18,000 people have officially communicated their objection. And that's the World View in 5 minutes on this Monday, January 16th, in the year of our Lord, 2017. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. I'm a homeschool father of 5, also a pastor of a church out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. During the demise of Western Christianity, the demise of Western civilization, which to a great extent was formed on Christian ethics, a Christian way of looking at things, and over a period of 1,600 years, 1,800 years, there was a tremendous influence on the part of the Word of God in the lives of hundreds of millions of people throughout Europe and then eventually in North America as well. But over the last 200 years, of course, we've seen a decline of Christian thinking, and it's largely occurred amongst Christian churches, but has worked its way into society and culture as well. And we just give you some illustration of this sort of thing as Christianity fades and we begin to see a massive paganization of culture. And that's what we're seeing, Steve on in studio with me today. That's what we're seeing, Steve, in the college campus where the hookup culture is happening. And according to Time magazine, it's unequal gender ratios at college now driving the hookup culture. So you've got two things going on. One is the female-to-male ratio in college now up to 60-40, soon to be 66-33, according to the Department of Education, which means that women effectively will be the educated. Women will be the ones that will try to hang on to civilization and keep culture together for another 10 years before it completely collapses. That's what they're saying, or they're trying to say. And but apparently that's also driving the hookup culture. And this is the associate director of counseling at New York University. Women outnumber men by a ratio of 60-40. And a new sexual paradigm has emerged. Dating in the traditional sense of the word has been replaced by hooking up as the predominant sexual interaction on campus. Now, in case some people want to know what hooking up is very simply this. It's serial fornication where every woman involved in it becomes a prostitute without any expectation of remuneration, of relationship, or marriage.
So
is that a good definition?
Yeah, I think so.
I think now someone wants to clarify that ever so slightly, but it's serial fornication. So it's just one person after the next, after the next, after the next. It's the one-night stand lifestyle, which has become, according to this, the predominant sexual interaction on campus, according to the associate director of counseling at New York University. So here's another take from the Time magazine article, Unequal Gender Ratios at College are Driving Hookup Culture. Here it is. A young woman at 75% Lawrence College told me everyone's self-esteem is taking a hit. One reason Sarah Lawrence men have little interest in exclusive relationships. Quote, why would they? It's like they have their own free harem. She grumbled. One of my friends was dumped by a guy after they'd been hooking up for less than a week when he broke up with her. The guy actually used the word market, like the market for him was just too good. Now, one clarification I'd like to make to that, don't insult the guy with the harem. She's insulting guys with harem here. They actually marry these women, take care of them, sort of. They don't treat them like prostitutes. That's a difference.
Yeah.
It's a shameful thing. It's grimy. This is disgusting.
Yeah, I feel icky. Yeah. So,
but this is predominant.
Wow. That's why you shouldn't send your kids to college.
Well, that may be an application.
Yeah.
That may be an application. But I'm telling you, friends, this is the culture. You say, how in the world did we get here? Well, we got here from an irresponsible dating culture of the 1950s and 60s into the shacking up the 70s and 80s to hooking up to now I don't know what it's going to be.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to be just degrading all the time, less and less of a relationship, and it could be, you know, partially due to the whole social media thing where you friend and unfriend. It's quick relationships, quick everything.
Yeah, yeah, that could be at the transient society. Obviously, few young people go to college to find a spouse these days. That's the article, and the reason, of course, is the average marriage age is 28, 29, 30, and the guys are getting free sex.
Yeah.
They've found a way to do that. Now, the way it happens, of course, is by the liberation of women and the contraceptives and abortifacients. That's the way it happens. That way, women can have as much sexual experience as they want without the consequence of having babies. And men, of course, can take full advantage of that. And the end result, of course, is there's very little relationship, very little commitment, and inevitably marriage and family just sort of fizzles out. Well, very few young people go to college to find a spouse these days, according to the Time magazine article. However, when Facebook investigated how many of its users did, in fact, meet their spouses in college, the analysis revealed something interesting. The men most likely to have met their wives in college were not those who attended schools that were majority female, but rather those that were majority male. And that because, sort of, you know, you feel like you got some value.
Right.
If you find the right woman, you feel like you got something, a gift, perhaps from God. And that's the way it ought to be. Well, friends, this is what a society looks like as it fizzles out. If you want to know the end of an empire, the end of an entire civilization, this is what it looks like. And China has figured this out. Communist China is concerned. China is reacting to some of these issues and some of these struggles. The communists are concerned. Of course, America is not concerned about the dissolution of an entire social system because, well, it's been encouraged by the liberal churches, and by the schools and by the universities and by the media. And there's been almost nobody discouraging this kind of thing. But the communists are concerned about it. We're going to talk about that next on the Generations broadcast. Folks, under Obamacare, the average family health care premiums now have exceeded $18,000, and more premium increases averaging 25% are expected for next year in 39 states. And remember, over 1,000 Obamacare plans cover abortion, and that's most of them. 5 states offer no abortion-free plans at all. And you know that all Obamacare plans contain the contraceptive abortifacient mandate. So what do Christians do? Well, I'll tell you what we have done. My family has gone with the Samaritan Medical Sharing Ministry since 1999. Over 17 years, we have shared our medical needs with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they have shared theirs with us. And the cost? Well, it's about one-third of what the average family pays under Obamacare. And Samaritan Ministries does not support the killing of unborn children. Our family has saved over $200,000 in insurance premiums over the last 17 years, and we have helped literally hundreds of Christian brothers and sisters with their medical needs. We write checks every month to different families who have needs to cover. How cool is that? On top of all of that, we can support the lives of unborn children while the powerful systems in Washington are doing just the opposite. I want to encourage you to check out Samaritan Ministries as an option for your family. Imagine healthcare sharing in a Christian way, protecting life as Christians do at one-third the cost. Just check it out at SamaritanMinistries.org and mention Kevin Swanson when you sign up, and we'll send you a free copy of my new book, Family Life. That's SamaritanMinistries.org.
And we're back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today. And Steve, here's an article that caught my attention from NBC News. My dad sent it to me a few days ago. China tackles the masculinity crisis, tries to stop effeminate boys.
Wow. China?
China's very concerned. Communist China is very concerned about the rise in effeminacy among boys. And apparently, with enormous economic clout and a powerful military and a strongman president, the image that China projects to the outside world is one of strength and confidence. And one of their major concerns is what they call the crisis of masculinity, according to this NBC News article. A new school textbook that aims to teach boys how to be masculine men has been released, called Little Men.
Wow.
Kind of like the Little Men produced by Alcott back in the 19th century. But a little different, because the book covers the differences between boys and girls, the importance of the father-son relationship, as well as the importance of interacting with nature and managing money. Now, see, this is something that I think we all need to pay attention to. The communists are very concerned about this sort of thing, and the communists tend to be somewhat moralistic. We've got to be really cautious. I've seen this creep into American religiosity, where we just address what I like to call the fruit, but not the root. And so it becomes a very superficial thing. We go after a problem that we see that's obvious, and we try to fix the fruit. And in the process, we wind up duct taping plastic fruit on trees. Now, as you know, when you duct tape plastic fruit on trees, it really doesn't produce anything. And so these moralistic books, these moralistic ministries, these moralistic approaches to these problems don't really fix anything anyway. But these nations are concerned. The China's education system, they say, may have played a role in bringing about the current state of affairs, with some commentators blaming an acute shortage of male teachers in the country, depriving young boys of male role models. Chinese media has portrayed the lack of manhood not only as a public menace and a threat to the family, but also as a metaphor of passive masculinity and national crisis, and so forth and so on. The communists are concerned, my friends. Of course, America is 100 times worse off than China on things like this, but nobody here in America cares about it.
Yeah, would that we be more
concerned. Yeah, nobody cares. The media doesn't care. Hollywood doesn't care.
Well, their
politics don't care.
They're concerned from the other side. Yeah. Our men have been too masculine. We're trying to feminize the men, masculinize the women. We're trying to make everybody the same.
We're going the other way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're just straight egalitarians. And as a nation, this nation has endorsed egalitarianism, role egalitarianism. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about the roots, not just the fruits. But, this is a fruit. This whole destruction of the male is a fruit of Marxist egalitarianism. And I don't think they understand that when Marx said, abolish the family, he said that in the Communist Manifesto. See, that's the problem. They got a root. They got a philosophical root that's not serving them well, and they won't admit this. But in the Communist Manifesto, Karl Marx said, abolish the family. And he said, establish women's societies, but don't enable the family. Why? Because his goal was to destroy the family economy. Within the family economy, the male, the female, are an axe head to an axe handle to accomplish tremendous economic feats. And that was the way God designed it way back, when the woman was to be a help appropriate for the husband in the dominion task. Now, we teach this, of course, in our family economic conferences, and we bring back the biblical family. We allow God to define the family, something that Marx won't allow, something the Chinese won't allow, and certainly American schools, by and large, will not allow either. Friends, this is not taught in the universities. Remember, the universities are not there to encourage young women to be help meets for their husband in the dominion task. How many universities do you think? How many colleges? How many Christian colleges do you think, Steve, are standing up saying, okay, the reason you young women are here is because we want to equip you to be help meets for your husband in a family economy? How many colleges in America? How many?
I'd say
not very many.
Not Why? Many, yeah.
Because they don't start with Genesis 2. Now, this is something that we do as our ministry, and something I talk about in my new book on the family, called Family Life. And I encourage people to get the book, because we need to get back to the basics. This is rebuilding the fundamentals. This is relaying the foundations with concrete. And I encourage Christians to do this. Nations won't. I don't think nations will. But I think individual families, Christian families, will here and there restore something of the biblical family in the years to come. So this is a fruit of Marxist egalitarianism, which shatters gender roles and destroys human society at its root. And by the way, Karl Marx said, my goal is to destroy.
His whole goal was destruction. Yeah. He called himself Apollyon. And you can read a little more about it in my book, Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, if you want to know the whole story about it. But the communists, of course, don't realize the fruit of Marxist egalitarianism is finally coming to bear in communist societies. Also, this is the fruit of absent fathers, which is acknowledged here. But see, again, that's the fruit of a system that makes the fathers absent from the family economy. So you dissolve the family economy. You utterly dissolve the family economy, where the family doesn't even see itself as an economy anymore, whether it's multiple streams of income or a single stream, as in the old family farm, either way. But if you're dissolving the family economy in the mind of every husband and wife in the country, then inevitably you're going to lose roles. You are going to lose their roles. It's going to happen, my friends. Now, of course, you know, the lack of masculinity in young boys is probably due to the increase in female mentors and absent fathers as well. And I think there's a really lack of love here. Communist fathers don't love their sons very much. I think it's pretty obvious. And yeah. Neither do many Christian fathers. Of course, Christian fathers should love their sons probably 100 times more than the communist fathers love their sons. But see, if you love your sons, then relationships will definitely overwhelm the influence of economy in your mind, or economics in your mind. And so you're going to probably make sacrifices for the people that you love. And so I think it comes down to more of a basic issue, and that is the issue and the concern of love. I think also this is a fruit of the easy sex trip that happens through pornography and self-satisfaction. And, of course, the increase in pornography among young boys in China or in Japan or in Pakistan or the United States. The massive increase, 80% of young boys in America, 18 to 24 years of age, are hitting the porn sites on a weekly or monthly basis, which I interpret to mean that they're addicted. That's addiction. An addiction. That's not an occasional thing. That's not sort of a random one-off. That's a habit. 80% of American young men are addicted to pornography, which means, of course, that's the revolt against maturity as well as a sinful thing, and an irresponsible thing. It's the easy sex trip. See, it's easier than developing a relationship with a woman, getting married, courting, going through all that, and eventually learning how to give up your life for this woman as you maintain something of a sexual relationship. See, that's harder. Wouldn't you say it's harder than going down to the basement and just having this sort of lazy, irresponsible relationship with this fake person on this tube?
Yeah.
Very, very different, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah.
So, see, these are the roots. And these roots, of course, are very intensive, very extensive, very strong, very, very – you need chainsaws to cut these things out, and you need backhoes to pull these things out. And this is something that communist society and cheap moralisms that come out of some ministries today are just not going to accomplish.
Yeah, it's really interesting that, you know, China is worried about making their young men more like men. And the United States is wanting to try to get more men into female restrooms.
Yeah.
That's kind of a stark contrast.
Yeah, it's
there.
A huge contrast. And more women into military combat, including Marines.
Right.
Apparently the first Marine women are being inducted into military combat roles just this month.
And Special Forces, too. They're trying to get them into Special Forces.
It's all happening right now. So you're turning your military over to the females. You're turning your colleges over to the females. And you're looking at the suicide of entire civilizations. And it's happening right in front of us. We've been talking about this for 12, 14 years. So those of you who listen to this program, you're not surprised at all. This is, of course, what's going on. And I encourage Christians to come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord. I'm encouraging Christians to gain a different worldview. I know it's tough. I know it calls us to repentance. I know it calls us to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I realize that this is a radical change in the thinking and the life of people who open the Word of God, contrast it with the world around them and say, oh, the Word of God calls us to be different. And I realize that that is going to shake you up big time. But my encouragement is to come back to the Word of God and realize what the Word of God has to say about this. The real root issue is that boys sin. That's it. The problem is boys sin. Boys tend to want to take on the easy sex trip. They want to give way to sexual temptation. Proverbs 31 tells us, do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. And that happens all the time with 80% of young boys getting hooked on porn and finding that their strength, their moral strength, their moral integrity is being undermined. Friends, these are the issues. These are the real issues. They're violations of God's laws. Let's just make it simple. Let's make it straightforward. Boys tend to be lazy, irresponsible. When women volunteer to do all the work and men still get sex, what do men think? That's a really good deal.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
That's a great deal.
Why buy the cow if the milk's for free?
You know, in my study of the last 2,000 years of how the gospel has made it to heathen countries around the world, and I'm hoping the gospel will make it to the heathen country of the United States and China as the years go by. But in my study, I find that heathen men tend to get lazy, irresponsible, and that women do all the work. The men try to get all the sexuality. They increase their harems, and sometimes they rent their wives out and so forth and so on. So boys tend to be lazy and irresponsible. They do so in primitive pagan societies, and they do where Christianity is no longer extant. Many boys also become cowards and faithless in a society where the women have no more children and the men lose reason and faith. That's a Rudyard Kipling line.
Yeah.
So again, but just the loss of faith, faith in God, faith in Jesus Christ, the faith that makes us courageous, as the men in Hebrews 11 were very courageous. We find so many stories of courageous men because they were believing in God. The reason Moses would stand up and raise that rod in the air was not because he felt just raising the rod would accomplish the parting of the Red Seas. He believed in God. He believed in God. He trusted in God. He was a mighty man because he was a mighty man of faith. But boys tend to be cowards and faithless today because the women have no more children and the men lose reason and faith. The classic line from Rudyard Kipling. Also, boys need to have male mentors and spiritual mentors. That's key. Titus chapter 2. Titus is told to exhort the young men to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility. This is what the pastors need to do. This is one reason we're opening up our basement again. We're bringing two interns into our home again, and that's happening over the next couple of months. And I've been doing that for 11, 12 years. My goal is to disciple and to mentor young men who want to be mentored. These are men who are leaning into it, not men whose mothers drag them, you know, because somehow they're hoping somehow I might be able to fix them. No, we're looking for young men who want to be mentored. And I think we need hundreds of thousands of pastors and ministry leaders and fathers to step forward and say, you know what, I'm willing to sacrifice something to be a spiritual mentor. I've got to do it. This is the only way to salvage the Church of Jesus Christ over the next generation. So we absolutely need this. Absolutely. The church is crying out for it. Future families. If our young women are going to have men to marry, there have got to be hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of fathers, of mentors, of Christian plumbers, Christian pastors who are willing to step forward and say, you know what? I don't need to be some kind of famous person. I just want to feed into the life of some young man somewhere. That, my friends, will transform the future families and future churches of this country. Absolutely, we need mentorship. Absolutely, we need discipleship.
Yeah, and if this could happen just even with the people within your listening audience at this point, the men who are listening to this, you know, the 15,000, 20,000 men that might be listening to this broadcast, if you start there and then you do one every year or so, and then they, as they grow older and mature, do another one. This is a multiplying type of effect.
Now, Steve, one point I want to make is that we're not moralists as a ministry. We're not communists here. The communists are concerned. The communists are moralists. And this absence of masculinity is not our major concern. We're not building our ministry around this major concern, although it's a problem, especially in the homeschooling movement. Effeminate males are especially prevalent where moms and female teachers are the only inputs into the young man's life. Huge problem among homeschoolers. Huge. And I've sounded the alarm concerning this in conferences around the country over a period of 5, 6, 7 years until I was shut down. Largely. But it's a huge concern for the communists. And it is a significant concern for this country. But the solution is not just to go to the fruit and duct tape fruit onto trees. This isn't the way it works, friends. The fruit has to appear through a spiritual process, through a spiritual renewal. This is what needs to happen in families, in churches across this country. There needs to be a major revival. We don't want a revival of male machismo with John Wayne, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and all the wild at heart people coming in and beating on their chests and screaming, I'm a male, I'm a male.
Yeah.
No. What do we want? What are we desiring? Friends, we're desiring that men will do what the Word of God teaches them to do. The Bible doesn't actually define manhood per se. It tells men what to do. It tells men what to do. It calls men to stop doing some things and start doing other things. But of course, to do these things out of true faith, having received Christ, in the strength of Christ, fathers are to teach the Word of God every day. That's what the Bible says. Teach your children the Word of God as you sit in the house, as you rise up, as you lie down. That's what Deuteronomy 6:7 says, Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, bring your children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And pastors should preach the Word of God every day if possible, and people should go listen. Now, see, you say, well, now that doesn't speak directly to masculinity. Listen to me. If Christians would do this, if Christian pastors would do this, if Christian fathers would do this, the whole problem of masculinity amongst Christians would go away. There'd be masculinity. The proper form would develop naturally as the Word of God is preached, as the Word of God is taught by fathers in their homes each and every day, as fathers learn to follow Christ and love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. As they further understand that, as they further realize the breadth and the height and the depth of the love of God for them, you know, that whole experience of realizing God's love for me will result in a sacrificial love shown to our wives and to our children as well. Now, also, men need to repent of their sins. Men need to repent of male sins. If we want a biblical masculinity, then how do we do this? Well, men need to repent of their male sins. You say, what are their male sins? Well, we've talked about them. Pornography, laziness, dishonor of mothers, and anger.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the sins to repent of. You see, the male machismo thing is usually wrapped up in anger and a sexual desire that is illegitimate and so forth and so on. So that whole male machismo thing, that whole emotion-driven approach is worthless. Men need to repent of their male sins of pornography, laziness, dishonor of mothers, and anger. These are the sins to repent of and turn to Jesus Christ, who saves us from these sins. And then women need to repent of their female sins of dominating men in their lives, arguing with their fathers and their husbands, feminist pride, prostituting themselves, immodesty, use of contraceptive abortifacients, discontentment, and all these things. And then they need to return to Jesus Christ, who saves them from their sins. So it's just that simple. And you begin to see this happening, and you'll find that a biblical femininity will develop, and a biblical masculinity among our young men will develop. So that's the only thing that's going to save us. A coloring book called Little Men, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's a futile, moralistic little ploy by the communist power state. Okay? All right. Well, we're going to wrap up this edition of the Generations Radio broadcast. And yes, our society is dealing with some massive issues right now. Well, my encouragement is to teach your children the Word of God as you sit in your house, as you walk by the ways, you rise up, as you lie down. The book of Proverbs actually is one of the very best resources, especially for young men. We talk about the book of Proverbs being for young men and young women. Of course it is. But there are so much of that book that is directed to my son. It's a father discipling a son. And then at the end, it's mom discipling her son. So the book of Proverbs really is God's book. It's even better than the communist book called Little Men. This is great. You need to get into the book of Proverbs, friends. God's word is even better than what the communists and the cheap moralists provide. So I encourage you to get into God's Word first and foremost. I have a study guide series in the book of Proverbs called the Family Bible Study Guide Series. I encourage you to that resource at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Steve Vaughn in studio, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.